Welcome in once again to the Bama Baseline Podcast. I'm James Fletcher with Luke Ratliff and Trevin Pierre-Noel. We got a great show for you guys today. We're going to open actually talking about something that happened last night. We were originally going to record on Tuesday, release it on Wednesday. Glad we didn't, because something big went down in college basketball.
Folks, Tuesday night was fight night in college basketball.
Usually reserved for Saturdays, but this week it came on Tuesday. They must have been inspired by the past weekend of fighting sports on ESPN. But we'll get into that in the first segment. Then we'll have your recap. We'll go touch on the Auburn game. Haven't spoken since then. We'll also give you guys our thoughts from the Missouri game, and then we'll get you ready for tonight's matchup against Vanderbilt. We'll talk about that crazy atmosphere they're going to play in. I'm not talking about the fans, just the court itself. And we'll also get you ready for that K-State game. But first, guys, let's open on last night's game. Kansas and Kansas State going head-to-head. We didn't think that was going to be the most important game for us going into last night, but it turned out to be huge.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, I was sitting at home watching television, just scrolling through, as I usually do, trying to figure out what I'm going to watch that night. And I happen to turn on ESPN, and all of a sudden, I see purple, I see blue, I see one guy getting thrown into the stands, just flailing everywhere. I think I see stomping. All of a sudden, a stool came up out of nowhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I thought I was watching WWE.
It was NWO in there.
NWO. Someone picked, who was it? Was it Silvo D'Souza picked up that chair, too? Bill Self over there looking like an angry granddad, just like,
grabbing people by the collar.
The nerves of steel of that assistant coach to grab the stool out of his hand.
Right. was coming down. I don't know, because there was no K-State player in sight, but he was still coming down.
This was the cool thing. This is the funny thing to me. There's a still picture of,
him with the
with the stool, and he's got it over his head. It looks like everyone in the crowd is reaching for it.
Nobody wants it to happen.
No, the funniest face out of all the people's faces is the lady who's on the ground.
She's like Van Gundy at the Mouse of the House.
It's probably her stool, if we're being real honest here.
It was so great, but it's so crazy. In the middle of it all, there's like this assistant coach who comes flying in sideways, 619 sideways, just stop this, and just falls straight to the ground. It was the funniest thing. Obviously, it's bad, right? You're not supposed to fight, right? But, I mean, we were talking about this pre-show. College basketball needed this, because this past season as a whole in college basketball hasn't been, very exciting.
Up to par.
It hasn't been what it usually is. There's no very good teams out there. There's, not really any big storylines to follow. Like last year you had Zion, the other year you had Trae Young. There's not really any big storylines to follow. And then the basketball gods gift us with ECW on a Tuesday night in the Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
The new AEW coming to Allen Fieldhouse. I got a lot of thoughts on this, and I want to start here from the beginning, what caused it, and I'll work my way analyzing my thoughts on how it happened.
Go ahead.
We start off, and Kansas dribbling out the clock.
Yes.
That's where this all begins. Kansas State decides to steal the ball. Now, While I would love to say that I would never do that in a game, I can't say that I've never done anything like that. Playing AAU basketball, sure, there were times the other team kind of pulled back and I went and shot a layup. Probably shouldn't have done it. That happens in basketball. They even pulled a clip, I think, last night on ESPN showing a time previously Monmouth had done the same thing to Kansas, stolen the ball while they were dribbling it out and gone down to the other end. So, of course, that's not a good sportsmanship move, but it's not the end of the world if it happens. I also don't think that Silvio D'Souza sending it into the third row and standing over him is the end of the world if it happens. That's kind of what you get. You do something unsportsmanlike, and they're more talented than you, which they had proved throughout the game. that's the kind of thing that's going to happen.
It's like the unwritten rules of baseball, except it's not dumb.
Yeah.
Right? The unwritten rules of baseball are dumb, right? This was not dumb. This was totally like, you do for me, I'll do to you, right?
Yeah, and so I have no issue with the lead up here. I also, on a basic level, have no issue with the altercation. If there's an altercation because there is someone standing over you under the rim, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I've seen fights break out on a basketball court. I would be hypocritical if I was saying to you that fights shouldn't happen in basketball because many a skirmish happened
If we're really thinking about it, the most popular point in the NBA was probably in the 90s, and that was like possible because of the fights that happened in the 90s. Like, basically, it was a free-for-all out there, and you could elbow people in the face, and people would be like, all right, that's two. Like, that's it. Right. No blood, no foul. That's where the first game, no blood, no foul.
And I think it's good that we've kind of moved away from that, but in the same way, I don't think it's the end of the world.
No.
If we see a brief altercation between these two. If they want to get in each other's face, they want to push, they want to shove. If one or two punches are thrown, okay, you give them a game suspension.
Kansas suspend
each guy who threw a punch for a game.
Kansas has had a tough year.
They have.
Like, outside of the game of basketball. Like, in the game of basketball, they're doing amazing. They're fine. They're 15-3. But in the game of, like, outside of the game of basketball, they've had a tough year.
Yep. And
I love the attitude here between these two teams. Like, you look at Kansas, all right?
Pure hatred.
Well, you look at Kansas, and, you know, all the stuff happens, and the ball's stolen from them in garbage time, and then they go down and block it, and dude's standing over them. Okay. The attitude there is, we'll win the game and the fight. I'm okay with that. I'm here for it. I love it. It's so good for college basketball. But let's move on. Let's talk about this. Hey, Kansas State has to come play Alabama Saturday.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Maybe
that is
shorthanded.
Their next game.
Probably shorthanded.
Yes.
And there's already a lot on the line there.
Right. And where I do have an issue with the fight, before we move on real quick, is moving it into the stands.
I don't think that was done on purpose.
I don't think it was done on purpose, but that's where I start to have an issue with it.
Yeah.
When you start going into the crowd, because the last thing you want is for a fan to get involved in the fight. The fans, to their credit, did a great job of staying out of it, of moving out of the way, of avoiding conflict with players. But that's the most dangerous thing you can have in sports, is an interaction of fans and players in a fight, in an actual brawl that breaks out. You don't ever want to see that. They avoided it, but they put themselves in a bad spot there. And then, of course, you can't excuse Silvio de Sousa picking up the stool. That's crossing every line of fighting, of sportsmanship, of basketball. There's no place to pick up a stool unless it's a breakaway and you're actually in WWE. Even they're not using real stools.
In terms of memeable content, last night was gold.
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 Amazing. But let's go on and
also another lucky thing is the fact that because Kansas was blowing them out, that section down there was not really full because most of the fans had left already because of the victory. So also another saving grace because most of those seats are empty. But also the lady that is in the photo, I'm watching the video right now of the fight. She was standing there just watching it all occur. Mm-hmm. I had sympathy for her before, but now I don't, because she's getting closer to the action as the fight progresses, and Ned starts like cowering in fear as one of them comes closer to her.
Next time you watch it, look at the Kansas Jayhawk. He's still in character. He's he has his hands over.
Yes, I see. Yeah, he's good.
This is so good.
He's the whole entire time. He's just like, ooh.
There's so much going on in the video. You got the students behind, pointing at the players, saying he threw a punch, right, ignoring the fact that D'Souza was holding his stool.
And everybody's like, stop!
I think my funniest part of it, right, is that everybody was standing up because the game was over and was clapping for the team.
Yeah.
So it's just your unison, just like everybody's just standing up and it's like, all right, hell. What's going on over there?
Let's move on and talk a little bit about the impact that it could have on this game coming up Saturday between Alabama and Kansas State, though. there's going to be suspensions handed down by the Big 12, by the schools possibly. It's going to be interesting to see. D'Souza, I'm sure, will get the worst of it.
Easily.
I don't know if I would say unfortunately. I guess unfortunately, if you're Alabama and looking for an easier win on Saturday, then unfortunately, the primary
spit it out, James.
Culprit for Kansas State was not dressed. He was in street clothes, and so doubt he would have had much of an impact.
Was he the one in acid wash jeans?
He was the one in the black polo with the chain. The one that got pushed up against the
He took on D'Souza just man-to-man, one-on-one.
And then everybody else came and ruined
it.
If everybody knows that there's a one-on-one altercation going on, don't jump in. Let them handle their business. That's a rule of fighting. Everybody knows these street rules.
And regardless,
Kansas broke the street rules.
D'Souza, a large, muscular man.
He can handle himself.
Had just laid out his teammate. And he chose still.
What a night.
Run in there and take him on.
What a night. No, but let's look ahead. Saturday, SEC Big 12 Challenge, 5 o'clock, Coleman Coliseum. It's Kansas State coming into Alabama. They're probably going to be shorthanded.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. At least one player. At least. You know, I don't see any way the NCAA doesn't hand down, or the Big 12 doesn't hand down suspension to at least one Kansas State player here.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot on this on the line for this game anyways, because if you'll remember, I haven't forgotten.
I have remembered.
The U19, the under-19 FIBA World Cup USA basketball team, coached by Bruce Weber of Kansas State, Kyra Lewis was on that team, and he basically benched Kyra Lewis in the tournament, in the FIBA World Cup. Doesn't matter. They still earned a gold medal. Kyra Lewis is a bigger patriot than Bruce Weber, if you ask me. But, you know, there's a lot of – you got the Kyra Lewis-Bruce Weber revenge game. You got conference pride on the line, Big 12 SEC Challenge. And you've also got this new suspension stuff. There's a lot going on here. And if Kansas State, who's – let's say it straight up. They're not very good this year.
No.
They're not very good.
They got a lucky draw this year.
They've had a disappointing season at this point.
Yeah, they're not very good this year. And you put this on top of
lucky draws in this.
They sure did
in this tournament on both sides.
They sure did, but they're not very good this year. And if you add all this to it, it's just working up for, in my mind, for Kyra Lewis to score 500 points. And beat Bruce Weber into the ground. And here's what I want. Here's why I dare you. If you're listening, I dare you, Bruce Weber. I dare you to cry about it after the game because you're shorthanded, don't have all your players, and you're having a 7-9 season. I dare you, Bruce Weber, to cry about it. Do it. Because you've had all the chance in the world. You could have played this man. You could have played Kyra Lewis more in the USA under-19 team this summer. You could have very well played more. Far and away, one of the best players on that team, you could have played him more. But no, because you have a personal vendetta against Kyra Lewis, you decide not to do that. And look, it's coming out for you now. This is what happened. You have you're having a losing season. Your players get into a fight because he can't control your team. Well, I mean, this is what you get. This is what you get. I dare you to cry about this. I dare you. I hope you're listening.
Bruce Weber, loyal listener to the Baseline Podcast, I'm sure. A message to him there from Luke Ratliff.
About to have a great student section.
We're going to wrap things up here in this first segment. When we come back, we're going to give you a recap of the games that have gone down in Coleman Coliseum since we last spoke. We've got Auburn and we've got Missouri. We'll have lots to talk about on that. You're listening to the Bama Baseline Podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back to the Bama Baseline Studios. We're in here. It is a Wednesday morning. We're recording. It's cold outside. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. It just happened all of a sudden. Somebody decided to turn the air conditioning on in Alabama.
It's real cold.
It's uncalled for, really.
It's unnecessary. Thought this was a South.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, let's talk about this past week.
Let's talk about it.
It's time to talk about the Tide. We had a good week.
Yeah. We had an amazing week, in my opinion.
You know, we start Wednesday, this past, 1 week ago today we're recording.
Yes.
Against Auburn, the fourth-ranked Auburn Tigers.
Previously fourth-ranked.
Previously excuse me. I'm sorry. The previously fourth-ranked Auburn Tigers, they come in the Coleman Coliseum, and they get the head mashed in. I can't help it. In probably one of the best basketball environments I've ever been in, personally. Mm-hmm. And I say this, like, before we even get into the game, listen, I've been around the SEC. I've been to Thompson Bowl and grew up. I've been to dozens of games at the Smith Center, at the Dean Dome. I've seen NC State play a game in Reynolds Coliseum. I've been to Auburn. I've never seen a basketball environment like Coleman Coliseum Wednesday. Hmm. It was incredible, especially his first 4 minutes. Where we started at, what, 9-4?
Yes.
That was basketball. And oof, to top it all off, the loudest rammer jammer I've ever heard. And yeah, I know if you're an Auburn fan, especially – because it felt like there was 1,000 Auburn fans that came to Coleman Coliseum.
There were actually over 1,000, I believe, yeah, officially coming from
on their
Auburn
stupid little corner.
Well, you know, it's great. Well, you know, good for them. good for them for, you know, finally starting to care about basketball. I know they've only been following it for about 4 years now.
I want to thank them for their contributions to, yep, the Coleman renovation as well.
Yeah.
Because these ticket sales do go towards,
yeah,
those.
Yeah. Absolutely. But they came in there, and I know, especially if you're one of those Auburn fans that came to the game, you know, Thursday morning came early. It came really early. It came early for me, too, but for a lot different reasons. But it came early if you're an Auburn fan because you've seen, I believe, the real struggles of your team against Alabama that Wednesday night.
Yeah. They exposed everything that Auburn was just deficient in. Like, it's...
Well, we knew going into the game that Auburn wasn't as well of a shooting team as they were last year.
Yes.
And, you know, Austin Wiley got his. Good for him, right?
Mm-hmm. At the free throw line, yeah.
He got his, but the guard play for Auburn in terms of, you know, Samir Dowdy and Javon McCormick, it was
abysmal.
It was they picked a really bad game to have a bad night.
Yep.
Yeah. And they really Alabama did an excellent job, I think, of the scouting before the game. It looked like they knew everything they wanted to get done, like they knew everything Auburn wanted to get done, and they went out there and they stopped it. They just went out and took care of their business. Auburn came in the number four ranked team, as we said, but they've got a lot to figure out before they're a Final Four team. They've got a lot of issues that they've got to work out on that team within their offense. And Alabama was the first to really poke the hole in it and expose what they need to work on.
Let me give you guys some numbers real quick. All right, here we go. Auburn.
Stats by Trevor.
Auburn stats. Field goal percentage, 31. You're not going to win many basketball games.
Could be better.
Shooting 31%.
Could be better.
3-point percentage, 25%.
Could be better.
This is the killer for me, all right? Their free throw percentage. I thought it was us for a second when I first looked at it. I thought it was our score from last year.
How did I know that Stats by Trevin was going to include free throw percentages and 3-point percentages?
In the eyes of Trevin, Alabama could win a game by 28 points, but go 6 of 8 from the line, and Trevin be like, "Oh, got to get those 2 free throws."
No, I'm actually happy with the free throws this game.
It's
right,
over 70% is good.
Yeah,
good over 70%.
Hey, that's my number. You shoot over 70%, your odds to win the basketball game just skyrocket. Okay, Auburn only shot 56% from the line last game. That is absolutely terrible. They went to the line 30 times. The fact that Austin Wiley was probably your best free throw shooter the entire night, that is a problem.
Well, he has been the whole season.
He has
Austin
been.
Austin Wiley has improved.
That's what's so strange
it's
about it.
It's still a problem.
It's because, because he's not. He's got funky shot. He's got hitch in it. Traditionally, he's not a good free throw shooter, but this season, and that's sort of been, you know, a hitch in the Auburn Tigers system is free throw shooting this year for him because hasn't been what it's supposed to be. It's what they would shoot, 62%? I'm just pulling numbers here.
Yeah, something like that.
It's
like
one
that
of the lowest in the conference.
It's like 13 or 14 in the conference. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. Explain it.
This is weird. And then also I want to point out that Auburn had 21 turnovers and 31 fouls.
Yep.
That's too many. They gave us too many opportunities at the free throw line.
They had like 15 of those fouls in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. It got a little choppy down the line for Auburn.
But for us, I like 3-point percentage. I wish would have been up. Petty didn't make as many as possible, but they made them when it counted. That's all that matters.
Alex Reese.
A man among boys.
Alex Reese really these past two games against the Tiger teams. Just so good.
Now, we might be a second-half team, but Alex Reese is a first-half player.
That's right.
Yeah. Over these past two games, he has come out on an absolute tear, just ripping through the defense for one half. And then whether it's the injuries, whether it's – I know he's had different things come up in seems like every game, either injury or illness-wise. But in that first half, he's been incredible.
You know what we call a player like that? Spark plug.
Also, shout out to Herb Jones for getting the double-double.
I can't talk enough about Herb Jones. Herbert Jones.
Give him the hats every game.
Is playing the best basketball of his career right now. Since the start of SEC play, he is playing the best basketball of his career.
Right. So, like, this freshman year campaign, absolutely amazing. He was basically he was a first round pick if he could get a shot off, basically.
And you see last year, I don't want to say
the drop off. Well, it was a little bit of a drop off.
Well, it was a bit of a drop off, but had shooting hand injury too, lingering wrist problems. Couldn't really play his full potential last year.
I think it had to do a lot the wrist, and it was because coming into last season, all the scouts wanted him to do was prove he could shoot the ball. At all. Just get it to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And suffering from a wrist injury, that was made much more difficult. That can get frustrating. And from there, I think things spiraled on a little bit. It affected his mentality on defense. Right. He still obviously had the skills and the athletic ability on defense, but that's why you saw more and more fouls throughout the season, was that frustration coming out with the way that things were going on the offensive end and with the injury.
And then this year he gets a new head coach in Nate Oates who really wants to spread the floor and get him opportunities to shoot the ball. But Herb is like, you know what? That's kind of not – like he realized that's kind of like not my – like a mid-range and driving to the basket. That's what I do. I play defense. That's what I do. So the best way for me to do it is for us to spread the floor, give me the ball an opportunity, and give me driving lanes so that way I can work – and produce and score.
Yeah. And he played so well.
Amazing.
Again, like I said, these past two games.
Like you said.
Give him a round of applause, Trevor. That's a good idea. Herbert Jones. He's coming into his own. But guys, let's move on. Let's move on to the Missouri game.
Because you have to move on in basketball.
Yeah. That's right, Trevin. Good job. Good contribution. let's talk about the glaring thing here, for the thing that stuck with me from the Missouri game. No, not that we came out and, you know, beat them by 14 points. No, not that we didn't have a drop-off game. They shot 31 free throws. They made 31 free throws. They went 100% from the line, an SEC record.
Yep. SEC record, only three short of the NCAA record for a single game. Going 34 for 34, that's the mark. They went 31 for 31. Just unheard of.
Free throws don't matter.
Pull out your free throw stats for this game, Trevin, and analyze it that way.
Here's the thing. If they shot their season average from the free throw line, we win by like, not 14, we win by like 25, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's something to me. This is these past two games, this homestand Coleman Coliseum, you've seen what this Alabama team, what their identity is now. You can tell what they're trying to do each time they come down the court offensively, as well as defensively. And I want to speak to this defensively. Jaden Shackelford is playing great defense.
Amen.
He has come a long way.
Shackelford, Bolden, and Petty. Petty and Herb. Those four are mainly the main standouts defensively. I'm just like, what an amazing, like, what great improvement they've had.
So good. So good. And you look at, again, in Missouri offensively, you're looking, you see Alex Reese, who just had a game. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
He had a game.
Boy balled out.
I look at this game, and we mentioned the blue collar points, the hard hat, give it to Herb Jones. Well, he got it in this game too. He got it in the Auburn game. He got it in the Missouri game. I believe Nate Oates said that he had roughly two-thirds of their blue collar points for
at 39 blue collar points. You know what we call that?
For the game.
Almost a 40 burger.
I mean, just insane stat lines. And obviously, on the stat sheet, it looks impressive in its own. But when putting in those blue collar points and when you understand what that means to the way this team wants to play and the way that NATO's system works, Herb Jones has been just invaluable to this team with what he produces and what he gives you, and he did it only taking 3 field goals.
You know what? You know, I'm going to say this. It's going to be real sad to see Herb leave this season because I think he's draft ready. I think he's draft ready. Personally. I think he's draft
ready. Are you going on the record with this?
I'm going on the record with this. I think that he will be a sneaker second-round pick, and he's going to be a new team's Draymond Green.
Are you saying he's sneaky good?
He is extremely sneaky good, Luke. That is exactly what I'm saying. He will be a new team's Draymond Green, and whoever gets him, honestly, I think the Warriors should just find a way to get Herb Jones in the second round. Just straight up.
That's a take.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad take, but it's a take.
I do think that this draft is so wide open.
It is.
There's so many sophomore players who came back last year to improve their stock, and now they're all trying to figure out and pick and choose who's going in this year.
You got the freshman. You got the James Wiseman who's not playing right now. So you got the unmentioned freshman, not even playing,
James Wiseman,
but just also overseas as well.
Yeah,
like LaMelo Ball.
Yes. Well, Cole Anthony is in North Carolina. RJ Hampton. RJ Hampton is in Australia. And then Denny Avdija, I think, is his last name, out of Israel.
Nailed it.
The next Chetty Osman, if you ask me. Hot take there, but this is not our NBA draft talk. Let's stick with this
Missouri game. You're right. I'm just saying. That's my opinion.
I got stat of the day from the Missouri game.
Stat of the day.
Ready?
Yes.
In the first half against Missouri, Alabama took 4 2-point field goals.
Huh.
Oh, okay, it's just me. that's a NATO's game. What you mean?
That's up it's to coming you whether together. You want to clap or not. They did take 39 3-point attempts. Oates voiced his frustration with 21 attempts in the past 2 games. They came out and almost
shattered.
Beat the mark for both of those games.
Alabama combined. Hit, what, 13 in the first half?
Yeah, we had 13 total.
13 total.
13 total.
13
me.
Total.
10 in the first half, 10 or 11 in the first half, and then 2 or 3 in the second half.
Well, Missouri did adjust defensively.
They sure did.
And made Alabama get to the rim a little more. But Alabama responded from the free throw line as well. We talk about what Missouri did in a historic night, but 25 of 30?
I'm just saying, free throws matter.
That's a great mark to shoot
I'm just saying,
from the line.
Free throws matter. That's all I'm saying.
But it was a great week for Alabama basketball. All in all, now we move forward. We look at Vanderbilt tonight. We look at Kansas State on Saturday. We've got 2 games that we need to get on a win streak here and really cement our place. Hey, guys, we're on the bubble.
Hey.
We're on the bubble.
Hey.
Bracketology with Joe Lenardi has
us. We're not last.
They have us in the first 4 out. We're right on the cusp here.
That is a far cry from what we were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right on the cusp here. And
that's only in 5 conference games.
And they're just like,
forget it. Put them in.
There's nowhere to go but up. So let's do this thing. We'll be back with a preview of the Vanderbilt matchup and the K-State matchup. Just a little bit. We'll touch on that. You're listening to the Bama Baseline Podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back into the final segment of this week's Bama Baseline Podcast. It's game day for Alabama, heading up to Vanderbilt in Nashville, Tennessee. The team already there making preparations. Our very own Luke Ratliff has packed his bags. He is ready to go in the studio here with his top hat. and his briefcase. He's ready to get on the train and head on up to Nashville.
You mean hoodie, backpack? That's right.
I am leaving the studio from, I'm leaving the Bama Baseline Studios and picking up a couple friends. We're going straight up to Nashville. Eat some hot chicken. You know?
Hattie B's.
Ooh, yes.
Hattie B's or
Princess. Hashtag free ad.
Yeah.
For Hattie B's.
Hattie B's or Princess, 1-2. And then we're going to go to the game, Memorial Gym, 8 p.m. And then here's the kicker. Drive back because we have class tomorrow.
Classes
tomorrow.
What is a class after an Alabama win? That doesn't exist.
Allegedly.
But we do want to do a preview of this game. Let me get from each one of you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get the biggest factor going into this game. All right. We'll start with Trevin.
All right. So for me, the biggest factor heading into this game, I'm just thinking, I'm just wishing, and I'm hoping. Right. Mm. So main thing for me is to make sure my favorite stat stays my favorite stat. That's right. We're going into Memorial. Sightlines are terrible. Gym is weird. Let's keep those three-point percentages up and those free throw percentages up. I feel like if we can keep those two numbers up to where we normally are, I feel like there's going to be no problem. We'll escape Vandy with the win, and we don't have to see Memorial Coliseum or Janae, whatever it is. We don't have to see Memorial for another year, and I can be a happy person.
Luke.
I think he's right.
Thank you. Yeah. Well,
I think he's right, and
I've been spot on lately.
Here's the thing about Vanderbilt. You know, I sort of feel bad for Vanderbilt because they've lost 25 straight conference games, mm-hmm. right? You know, they fired the coach from last year. They got a new coach, Jerry Stackhouse, and they didn't look bad
to start it off in
non-conference. But then Naismith gets hurt out indefinitely, and if everything could go wrong, it has for.
Yeah, they lost Garland last year, now Naismith this year.
And they're still – Saban Lee is still there. I don't know how long he's been there. It's been forever.
He's taking on the medical red shirts of other players.
He sure has. But, you know, what I'm looking at, Vanderbilt last game, they had like a 1,084-game streak of scoring a three-pointer. 1,080 straight games of
– Since the three-pointer
was introduced
–
And they missed. They went 0-25 their last game against Tennessee. 25 straight. I can't help but feel that this gym, if you're an Alabama fan, this gym is a curse. It's awful. It's terrible. I think Alabama's won there twice since 1993, something like that. I can't help but feel they're going to go 15-20 tonight. So I hope we're able to match that. We're able to match that as a team and have a good percentage score points from beyond the arc.
Yeah, I think you're both wrong. I think your hearts are in the right place. But the biggest factor of this game is the floor. The floor itself at Memorial is the biggest factor in any game played at Vanderbilt. It's ridiculous.
It's weird, and you know, I've been an advocate that. If you're a visiting team at Memorial Gym, you should have two shoot-around sessions. You have walk-throughs and then two shoot-arounds just to get used to the gym because it's just weird, man. Just weird. How often do you play in a place like that where it's an elevated floor?
It's so far away.
It's just like, you know, and they changed it. Like, the team bench is on the baseline, mm-hmm. right? And it used to be you could only coach from the baseline.
Yeah, and that made no sense at all.
No. And it was an incredible home court advantage, even though it's not really a raucous crowd in Vanderbilt. Right. But it was a really home court advantage for them for years because nobody else ever had to play that.
Yeah.
And so now, you gotta go win, man. Gotta go win. It's a dumb gym, yeah, but you gotta go win.
We won in there last year, right?
We sure did. I was there. Right. That gym is broken. That gym has had Memorial Gym has had its foot on the windpipe of my dreams for many a year. And last year to get a win there was fun. So I hope to do it again tonight.
So would this be like the first time in Alabama basketball history that we would
back-to-backs?
It probably would be.
I haven't looked. You have to look it up.
You don't often play back-to-back against Vanderbilt. the way the schedule falls, at Vanderbilt at least, you don't often do that. And so I would assume, in a given that we have a stretch here of two for, I think it's 2-14 in the last 16 games played there, I would venture to guess that it's probably been quite a while since we won two in a row, but I think they're going to get it done. I think this Vanderbilt team is struggling.
Just
they're
not good.
Just dead in the water right now, and I think really saving the possibility, and I'll leave out the possibility here, that Scottie Pippen Jr. turns into his father tonight and just rips apart the Tide. That could happen, but saving that possibility, I think Alabama gets out of here with at least a double-digit win.
Absolutely. You know, back-to-back wins at Memorial. You know what we call that, James?
What do we call that?
Making history.
Making history. I like it. Let's go ahead and touch just real quickly here before we get out of the studios. This Kansas State game coming up. We've talked already a little bit about the implications of the possible suspensions that could come down. But what do you want to see Alabama do as they come back from their road trip and get back into Coleman Coliseum for the SEC Big 12 Showcase?
Well, for me, first and foremost, the thing that I want to see when they play Kansas State is to score over 70 points. For me, that's all they need. Kansas State has barely been able to score over 70 at all this year. They're basically hovering around the 64-65 range. And, you know, I think they score 70, we're good to go. We're free and clear. Again, keep the free throw percentages up. Now, I'm not necessarily stressing the three-point percentages because I think, like everybody's saying, Kansas State will be kind of shorthanded. So, you know, just run them like crazy. Just run the offense. Make them tired. Just run them off the gym. Have fun.
You're exactly right. Let Kyra Lewis do what he wants. I mean, this is revenge game.
I want Kyra Lewis to do what he wants, but do it in the second half after we have the first half, play good basketball. You know, just get the run the score up, make them tired. Then second half, pound them in the dust.
Now I would raise the question: does Nate Oates leave in Kyra Lewis longer?
Oh, why
than normal?
Not? Why not?
But he already plays the whole game, so I don't think that's going to come into factor.
Exactly.
No, you just got to call plays for him now.
Okay.
Just keep calling the plays. ISO. Just have fun. ISO.
Imagine a Nate Oates offense running isolation.
We're running an Avery offense. Everybody back up. Let Kyra get the ball.
I mean, that would just be blatant. Disregard for Bruce Weber if Nate Oates himself called isolation basketball.
How dare you have one of like the only players under the age of 18 to play a college basketball game on your team, right? And you put him on the bench. Was he SEC freshman all mentioned last year? Like, come on, man, just put him out there.
Here's my thing, like.
SEC, come on, bro, what?
I talked about in the first segment. This is like, if all Bruce Weber, all you have to do is play Kyra Lewis in the FIBA U19 World Cup. That's all you have to do. He's probably your best guard on the floor.
Yes,
from that team. Mm-hmm. And you don't play. We play 5 minutes a game. Get out of here, bro. This is all you have to do. The reason you're 8-10 right now through 18 games, Bruce Weber, is because you didn't play Kyra Lewis enough in the FIBA World Cup this year, this summer. That's the exact reason. If you play him, you're 12-6, possibly 13-5. Possibly. You did it to yourself. You asked for this. You asked for this bad season. And I don't you dare cry about it.
Don't you dare. You had a grown man. You had a grown man amongst boys, and you relegate him to babysitting duty. That is rude.
You did this to yourself, Bruce Weber. So whatever happens with coming Saturday, whatever players.
I hope we beat him by 50.
I hope we beat him by 100 in the first half. Whatever players are suspended for Kansas State coming in there, whatever happens to Bruce Weber, and I'm really sorry for these players because the basketball gods have really shined down on Bruce Weber. Right, they've really punished him this year for not playing Kyra Lewis enough in the FIBA World Cup.
I hope our defense is so amazing they think they're playing Virginia.
Whatever happens Saturday, whatever players are suspended, whatever Kyra Lewis does, it's well deserved for Bruce Weber. He's getting it. He's getting the work.
And that's where we'll wrap things up today on the Bama Baseline Podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening. Download this. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Bama Baseline. Putting out lots of content. We're always keeping you updated on the games. We also update you on our podcast, when it's coming out, what it's going to be about. One more time, I'm James Fletcher.
I'm Trevin.
And I'm Luke Ratliff. Thank you for listening to the Bama Baseline.
I hate Auburn.